What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants. Free your mind.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the Fascist Hour on Radio. So once again, the Democrats, man, they are back at work. They have done their job. They are pulling out the distraction playbook at every chance they possibly can because, God, they want you focused on something other than what they're not doing. You know, this time I think they're pulling a full court press on Americans who pay attention to this dysfunction going on up in Washington, D.C. You know, the mainstream media and the political left, they're constantly putting on a show of political outrage. We see it every time we turn on the news. And I think the reason why is because 2016 left them completely stunned. They don't know how to react to Donald Trump, his victory, an outsider getting on the inside. And so this is what we get. You know, their behavior, I'm going to argue throughout this show, is it's an acting job for cameras and reporters only. It's as if they think that Americans have nothing better to do than to sit idly by and wait on the next big thing to happen to be outraged just as much as they are. You know, they won't get the when they don't get the reaction that they're seeking, they turn up the rhetoric and manufacturing lies and propaganda in hopes that it's going to serve as a convenient distraction for what's really going on. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to cover the manufactured outrage they're witnessing from the political left and their media machine. It's starting to unravel in their faces because Americans finally are starting to wake up. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are up and running right now on all social media platforms. Over on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn, we can be found at the Philip D. Blackman Show. And if you're a Twitter header over on the Twitch space, then, hey, there it is, at the PDB Show. Guys, if you want to leave a comment, you want to participate in the show in any way, 409-245-9753, or comment on the social media feeds that we're broadcasting. That way we can put your comment up to view in real time. So again, if you want to participate, if you want to call, you can text, you can drop your messages in social media. 409-245-9753 is the number. So to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 292. Man, we are approaching the big three. We're calling this episode, once again, we're continuing our coverage, continuing this series. We're calling it Reshaping America. The topic for this week is manufactured outrage. So for my first-time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 644 officers die in the line of duty, and as of this show, we've lost 183. We picked up two since Monday's show. We get our numbers from the Officer Down Memorial page, and if you go check that page out, you're going to see a quote on there, and we just happen to agree with it because it's so profound that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it is an entire nation. We honor all of our officers who serve, and those especially who have given their life in service to their community and their country, and we highlight a different officer every week beginning with the Monday show. Well, friends, this week, this is for our Wednesday show, we're going to continue honoring Austin, Texas Senior Patrol Officer Anthony Martin in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Senior Patrol Officer Anthony Martin 54 of the Austin, Texas Police Department, who died on September 23, 2022 in a motorcycle crash. Officer Martin served his department honorably and faithfully for 16 years, and he was also a veteran of the United States Air Force. Austin Police Association said in a statement, "We lost one of our own this morning. Officer Anthony Tony Martin served the city of Austin with excellence for over 16 years, and he will be profoundly missed. Our hearts are with his family as they grieve this sudden and tragic loss." Officer Martin is survived by his wife and children. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Officer Martin. Austin, Texas Senior Patrol Officer Anthony Martin. End of watch, September 23rd, 2022. Rest in peace, officer.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah! Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You know, when my father-in-law was alive, that was his absolute favorite video or his favorite commercial. You know, and it's kind of really kind of became ours here at the Blackman household. Every time, every Wednesday, every chance we get to show that commercial, it's kind of our little hat tip to the old man himself. Man, what a time we're living in to know. And Tammy Vi, we've talked about it before. Her dad was a veteran, and you know he wasn't a combat veteran. He didn't go fight any of the nation's wars, but at the end of the day, he did what so many warriors have done in their past. They have they signed up. They were ready to go when the opportunity presented itself. And I'd go ahead and argue that, like a lot of veterans, especially when I'm doing these redefining shows like the old man, you know, I think he'd be upset. I think he'd be disgusted by what he's seeing, like so many of you are seeing. You know, are you noticing a pattern? By now, you should be. I mean, for the past 6 years, the American people, they've been emotionally manipulated by what I call the manufactured waves of outrage, right? There's your next existential threat. I mean, once the corporate media identifies a trigger, and they always will, they're going to obsessively focus on it for weeks and months on end. And the narrative that develops, it better be echoed, and it better be magnified by millions upon millions of social media denizens who really have no idea what the hell they're talking about. They just respond to the clickbait, to the headlines. And before too long, much of the population, they find themselves all whipped up into an irrational, emotional frenzy. That frenzy, that's what's used to move certain agenda items forward. Now, again, like I covered on my show Wednesday, this fake outrage about Ariel, of the Little Mermaid being cast by a black woman, a black actress, black singer, I think, because she's got an amazing voice. Have any of you guys ever seen the outrage? Have you seen it? Because I think it is fabricated. It's manufactured to get people upset, especially when you start having the discourse about race relations and gender relations and sex relations and all these relations in our society. I mean, Mama Clump said it best, you know, Sherman gonna have relations. That's kind of what we are. Everything is a relation, and we better get outraged or we better get out of the way. I mean, to me, this new era, I think, I'm going to argue that it began in 2016. Here's why. Because Donald Trump was a political candidate like nobody else, and the elite absolutely hated the fact that he didn't follow their rules and that they could not control him. This is not an appreciation of Donald Trump. This is just what it is. I mean, if you're being honest and you're looking at everything that's happening for what it is, this is an honest observation. So when Donald Trump actually won, it was a catastrophic event. Do you recall seeing the little guy with glasses, little toboggan, when they proudly swore him in as the 45th president of the United States? This guy, no, you know, he's screaming to the heavens. Why? Because it was a catastrophic event. They didn't know how to wrap their mind around it. I mean, from that moment forward, when Donald Trump won the election, which, by the way, let's go ahead and remind everyone, that was stolen because of Russia collusion that has been debunked, that he was an illegitimate president. Again, these are all talking points from the political left. They're not mine. But here we are in 2020. We're not allowed to have the same criticisms. But, you know, the point is, never before in U.S. history had a sitting U.S. president been treated in such a fashion as this president. And we may never really truly see anything like it ever again. I mean, the anti-Trump narratives, which are being pumped out by the corporate media, they were constantly fed to social media influencers on both sides of the political spectrum. And that ultimately created an extremely deep political divisions in this country, which still exist today. You had the anti-Trump crew and you had the QAnon crew. Both of them were absolutely nuts. I mean, a lot of the people on the left, they were entirely convinced that Trump is the devil. And many on the right believe that he's the greatest American that ever lived. Two very different positions. But of course, the truth is that Trump's not actually on the far end of the political spectrum that currently exists in this country. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Donald Trump even now. I mean, here we are 2.5 years, almost you know, coming on into the third year of this administration, and we're still talking about Donald Trump. You know, there's a lot about Trump that liberals should actually like. I mean, and to be fair, there's also a lot about Trump that conservatives should actually be criticizing. But that's not how the debate's been framed. If you hate Trump, you're on the left. If you love Trump, you're on the right. End of story. It's not negotiable. We're not allowed to discuss it. In 2020, a couple things happened that caused the new manufactured waves of outrage. You know, one of them was the tragic death of George Floyd. His death in itself sparked the Black Lives Matter movement, and our country was whipped into an emotional frenzy. Protests, civil unrest, and riots erupted all over the nation, and the level of violence that we witnessed shocked the entire planet. But if you didn't support the protesters, you were suddenly a bad person. You were racist. You were xenophobic. You did not believe that Black Lives mattered unless you screamed it from the mountaintops and you had it painted onto your vehicle for everyone to see. Instead, it was the police that were relentlessly demonized by the media and politicians, and this greatly upset a lot of us that are very supportive of our police. I mean, without a doubt, the United States has problems with police brutality. Let's be honest and put that out front. And without a doubt, there's a lot of racism out there. That also exists. You know, I've been boldly speaking out against racism for a whole lot of years, and I'm going to continue to speak out against it, because what are you going to do? I mean, I believe that every man, woman, and child on the entire planet was created equal. I believe that every single one of us possesses immense value. But there were millions upon millions of us that didn't agree with the political agenda of the Black Lives Matter movement, and many of the specific political positions that the organization adopted, they were deeply alarming. You want to get rid of the nuclear family? Are you kidding me? I mean, does that make us bad just because we don't agree with their particular agenda? Of course it does, because racist. You know, 2020 also brought us to the COVID pandemic. You know, our societal divisions, they became deeper than ever before as we endlessly debated about masks and vaccines and mandates and other restrictions to include giving away freedoms. You know, manufactured waves of outrage about COVID, they dominated the national discourse for nearly two full years, but we're finally getting to a point where we're almost ready to put it all behind us. You know, and then here comes the war in Ukraine. You know, a war that has come along and now everyone has a reason to be outraged once again. I think, personally, that Elon Musk probably had he is the ultimate troll of all social media, and I appreciate what he does because he summed things up very well in one of his tweets from March of 2022. For those of you that are not watching, it's a graphic with a person in a circle with all kinds of different identity flags and Ukraine flag. And he says in this tweet, "I support the current thing." That's the idea. I mean, you may have noticed that there were hordes of social media lemmings that were plastering their profiles with Ukraine flags, even today. You know, I'm thinking maybe next month they may have to switch back to COVID again. But then again, you know, in November, the hot topic may be racial injustice, anything to grab votes and attention. And of course, every June is reserved for the alphabet people, you know, so social media, it's become a very clear reflection of society as a whole. As so much what's going on in our world today, it's been driven by social media. Bobby McCatton in the chat, he says that, yeah, we're going straight to hell. Casey Stark, he says, some of us ain't worth shooting. Well, I guess that really depends on who you are and where you come from. We also have Laura Harlow in the chat, as well as Tammy Blackman. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for joining me, for being a part of the show. You know, last week I was stunned to learn that the Biden administration, they'd actually conducted a briefing on the war in Ukraine. Brace yourselves for 30 key TikTok influencers. Here's the headline. 30 TikTok stars received a Ukraine war briefing from the White House. In the article, it says, quote, "To get ahead of the misinformation and spread its messaging, the Biden administration on Thursday briefed top TikTok," and by the way, this is March 11 of 2022, briefed 30 TikTok stars on the key information regarding the war in Ukraine. The Washington Post reports the online influencers received updates about the U.S. strategic goals in the region, while National Security Council staffers and White House Press Secretary Jen Circleback answered questions on disturbing aid or on distributing aid to Ukraine, working with NATO, and how the United States would react if a Russian use of nuclear weapons. I'll get it out in a minute. So wait a minute. So out of all the stuff that's going on, all the briefings that must take place, this administration has specifically set apart 30 of your social media influencers to give them a briefing on Ukraine to push their message. Tammy, I wish I had an answer for you. She writes in the chat, why? I don't know. I'm not sure. Bobby Manhattan says the problem is we no longer call bullshit anymore. Everyone is afraid to speak up. And Bobby, that's the mold that I'm trying to break on my show here. Is I'm trying to call out the bullshit, and that's why I do these shows, especially the Reshaping series. I mean, can you imagine, truly, can you imagine a Reagan administration or a Bush, either Bush administration, doing any of such thing? Of course not. But then again, the world's changed. I mean, today the elite need the support of influencers of social media because of those social media influences, they can whip up a tremendous wave of manufactured outrage. I think that might be the answer. I mean, if you ask a random U.S. social media user to tell you what caused the war in Ukraine, I'd probably be willing to bet, I don't know, my house, my truck, my year's worth of salary, that the majority of them, they wouldn't even be able to give you any sort of detail of a current and coherent answer. You know, the vast majority of these people who are outraged, they wouldn't be able to point out Ukraine on a blank map. But they do know that Russia is really bad and Ukraine is really good. And that's all that the elite really need them to know for now. I mean, for years, I've been encouraging my listeners to think for themselves. Because if you don't learn to think for yourself, there's other people more than happy to jump in line and do the thinking for you. And it can be a tempting path to follow, but when you let others do the thinking for you, it becomes really too easy for them to manipulate your emotions, which is exactly what's happening with the latest wave of manufactured outrage. And that's the topic of tonight's segment, The Breakdown. You know, it's an old story with the socialists that were previously identified as the Democrats. You know, if there isn't a real crisis that they can't really allow to go to waste, they'll be happy to manufacture one. Casey Starkey says the best way is to get propaganda out, talking about those social media users. Bobby Hatton says, would that war have happened if Trump was still president? I don't think so. You know, call it for what you will. A lot of people would argue that Donald Trump was a very reckless president. And, you know, part of me thinks that the recklessness is what kept some of these crazies at bay. So I don't really like to get into these hypotheticals, but I think the evidence does kind of suggest that probably not, but we'll never know that answer. Laura Harlow says critical thinking, civics classes, oh my God, needs to be taught again. But no, we're worried about gender identity and critical race theory and all these other things that really don't matter. I mean, sadly, there have been a myriad of crises that our country's dealing with, but the socialists, they're incapable of being able to respond to an effective and judicious manner. They wanted justice for George Floyd. They canonized him. He's a saint. Nobody in America has ever been a better person than good old George, and he received justice. As a matter of fact, he got a flag flown at half staff. He got a triangle folded flag presented to his brother. And even Nancy Pelosi, taken to the podium, looks up at the heavens and says, thank you, George Floyd, for your sacrifice. You know, if you know anything about George Floyd or his past, I assure you, sacrificing himself for anything, it was nowhere on his radar. But he received justice, and rightfully so. Men are in prison now because of his death. Rightly so. But that wasn't enough for some. Now, thanks to Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you gotta kneel before them while you commit arson and rob and loot and burglarize and assault and rape and murder policemen whenever they feel like it. Every single bit of it is without retribution. No one has ever gone to jail for any of the riots across America over the Floyd case and some others. Nobody. Why is that? Is it because they're black? Is it because they're anarchist? Or is it because they're socialist? Because they are violently anti-Trump or anti-American or anti-capitalism? Maybe all of them. I don't know. But what they were not is innocent. And then we had the Wuhan virus that was released by China to infect the world. And it was nothing more than a test run to really see what damage that a mild virus like the Wuhan flu could do. So to track its progress around the world, how virulent it remained, how it mutated, etc. We had all these COVID deaths, and then flu deaths just kind of went away. I mean, they also learned that the world would allow them, China, to literally commit mass murder and would still purchase their cheap-ass products. I tend to think that it's probably dollars over people, and that is absolutely sad. After people have had two vaccinations and two boosters and being infected with the Wuhan virus, a lot of these people, they're still under the control of the fascists, requiring them to mask whenever they feel that it's necessary. Not medically, not scientifically prudent, just to assuage their little feeding to the socialists feel better about themselves, because it's for the greater good. And now it's Putin's price hike. 24/7, 365 from the White House, NPR, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, Washington Post, New York Times, Daily Cross, etc. Putin's price hike is the problem. Do you remember when the Ukraine invasion started? You know, how it was the big, strong Russia was intimidating and the small, weak Ukraine. And the White House assured us that it would pressure that the pressure they were going to give would come to bear. That would be enough to humiliate the big bear and make Russia stop. I'm sorry, it didn't happen, did it? So the Russian invasion plan B. Then it morphed into, you just can't be mad at Russia. You need to direct your anger to Vladimir Putin, and you need to hate Vladimir Putin with all your heart and soul. You need to convince your neighbors and your coworkers that Vladimir Putin is evil. He's a wicked, he's mean, he's nasty. He is the devil. He is the personification of everything evil in the world. You need to hate him, but you don't need to just hate him. You got to hate him, right? You need to hate Russia, and Russia needs to be destroyed. Tammy writes in the chat, she says, some people don't know what to do with themselves without chaos and disorder. It's like they have no identity without it. You know, that is a brilliant point that I contemplated that, Tammy, that some people don't know what to do with themselves if they don't have chaos and disorder. And maybe you're right. Maybe they don't have an identity unless the sky is falling. And if that's the case, and Laura Harlow seems to agree, good point, Tammy. If that's the case, then what a sad state we're in. You know, the media right now, you know, with all this focus on Russia, I mean, I want you to think about this. When the price of gas started steadily increasing, all we heard was that Joe Biden and the White House administration, they do not control gas prices. This is outside of their realm. If they could control the spigot, I don't know what word they used, but if they could control the spigot, they would. They would produce more gas, produce more oil, and drop the prices now. Was it 5 months now we've had steadily decreasing gas prices? And now the White House has taken the position that the reason why gas prices are dropping is because of Joe Biden. It blows me away how and they can look at this with a straight face and mean every single lie that they tell you. The media is trying to distract you from the rampant inflation and the high gas prices and the out of control crime in our cities, illegal immigration, unless you send them to Martha's Vineyard. And then, of course, the forced sexualization of children in grades K through 3. These are the things that affect our daily lives. We were getting 2 or 3% of our oil from Russia. Now, if we did lose that, which, by the way, we're still buying it every day, wouldn't that really see prices go up accordingly? I mean, surely they wouldn't rise 150%, which is exactly where we are in reality. Not the mainstream media's 30% BS. Gas was at a national average of $1.74 the day Joe Biden found his way into the office. Now, today, at the same gas station, it's sitting at about 419.9. You know, that's not 30%. You know, the war in which is an abomination against humanity, it doesn't really affect our gas prices, but the Biden administration's policies absolutely do. You know, Joe Biden, he repeatedly claims that he was the top of his class. And he was a law professor. And by the way, as far as being top of the class, he was 76 out of 79. Maybe it's opposite day. He claimed that he drove an 18-wheeler. Not true. He claimed that he single-handedly beat up an entire street gang. Remember Corn Pop? Yeah. There's the only thing that's missing is a red and blue tight bodysuit with a huge B on the front of it for Biden, for Super Biden. But the truth is, a few thousand miles from what Biden purports it to be. He claims to be the smartest president ever, just like his predecessor, and he got made fun of a lot for that, but yet it's crickets here. He also claims that he doesn't know, and he's never met a woman named Tara Reid, which is why his vice presidential records are permanently sealed to prevent the truth from getting out. During his most recent CBS interview on 60 Minutes on CBS, the interviewer did a beautiful job of really throwing a bunch of softball questions after question after question. But he asked one question that was a slider, and Biden, he mumbled, he stammered, he stuttered through an entire incoherent answer that was nonsensical. Even though Paley lobbed softballs, Joe Biden still managed to completely lose it with his response when Paley questioned, "Are you fit for the job?"
Watch me. And I mean, honest to God, that's all I think. Watch me. If you think I don't have the energy level or the mental acuity, then you know, that's one thing. It's another thing of just watching and, you know, keep my schedule. Do what I'm doing. I think that, I don't, when I sit down with our NATO allies and keep them together, I don't have them saying, wait a minute, how old are you? What did they say? You know, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, that old expression, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. I mean, I respect the fact that people would say, you know, you're old. But I think it relates to how much energy you have and whether or not the job you're doing is one consistent with what any person of any age would be able to do.
Does anybody have any idea what he just said? I mean, the question was, are you fit for the job? And he says, watch me. And honest to God, that's all I think, Biden stammered. Watch me. If you don't think I have the energy level or the mental acuity, then you know, that's one thing. It's another thing. You just watch and you know, keep my schedule. Do what I'm doing. I think that, you know, I don't know. When I sit down with our NATO allies and keep them together, you don't have them saying, wait a minute, how old are you? What did you just say? You just a word salad, just a 100%, there it is. Word spaghetti is the word. Tammy says, Biden now says that he was raised by Puerto Ricans. Kind of. That's like being almost pregnant. Yeah, Puerto Ricans in Delaware, of all places, in the 70s. It's unbelievable. You know, when the question is asked, you know, are you fit for duty? I think what he's saying is, well, just watch how I perform doing my schedule, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see what I'm doing. Well, I'll tell you what we see. We see you falling off of a bicycle that's parked. We see you falling not once, not twice, but three times up a set of stairs. We see you at a rally ask for a congresswoman who died. We've seen you at another rally talk about, well, she was 12 and I was 30, but whatever. Right? But then Paley asked, he asked Dear Biden, his follow-up question was even better. He asked him, he says, quote, how would you say your mental focus is? Here's his response.
Well, it's focused. I have trouble even saying to myself, my own head, the number of years. I no more think of myself as being as old as I am than fly. I mean, it's just not, I haven't observed anything in terms of, there's not things I don't do now that I did before, whether it's physical or mental or anything else.
Wow. I mean, how would you say your mental focus is? His reply, oh, it's focused. I'd say it's I haven't looked. I love that. That's his go-to. He says, I have trouble even saying to myself in my own head the number of years. Well, we can say it for you, 50. He said that I no more think of myself as being old as I am than fly. What kind of fly? Are you pretty fly for a white guy? What are you talking about? I no more think of myself as being old as I am than fly. And he goes on to say, I mean, it's not, I haven't observed anything in terms of there's not things that I don't do now that I did before, whether it's physical, mental, or anything else. So I guess the Freudian slips that we hear of the racism that is being defined, you're right, Joe, you're not doing anything now that you didn't do before. You've always been a lunatic, but the reason why you're sitting in the Oval Office is not because of your ability, not because of your qualifications, but because you're not Donald Trump. You know, Tammy says that what's focused? I'm surprised he didn't try to redefine the word. She says it's okay that he's old, just don't lie about it. Well, here's the thing, Tammy. Even though we talk about the fact that he's old, and again, you know, this whole narrative that everybody talks about Donald Trump, or about Joe Biden being, what, 78 years old when he became president of the United States, and they're saying, well, Donald Trump needs to go in and he needs to take office too. Well, do you not understand? For those of you on the right who are complaining that Joe Biden was too old to take office, if Donald Trump was to win the 2024 election, Donald Trump would be the same exact age as Joe Biden. But he's smarter? No. He's just as old. We got and to criticize the man for these things that we're recognizing that happen the older we get, not they're on top of mind. I don't know who else ever says that. I've never heard that expression before, but this congresswoman is on top of mind. Look, to point out the irony that he called for a dead lady no more than a month before he lowered the flags at half staff and had this great big ceremony in the Rose Garden. Nah, that didn't happen because she was on top of mind. And if you say anything about it, then you're just an ageist. That's what that. So there it is. So that they finally found the word that they want to use to try to silence detractors. You're ageist. With a Barack Obama, it was you're racist. You can't have it both ways. Casey Starkey says he is there because he can't question why he is being told what to do. It makes you wonder if you're right, if Biden is the perfect puppet. Maybe you're onto something, Casey. I think maybe so, but because he can't really identify a single thing that he's done or why he's done it. Bobby McHatton says in the chat, he says, all the events that have happened over the last few years, the Democrats needed to happen so they would have a chance to gain power back. The Democrats understood after Trump was elected, people no longer was buying what they was spitting out. Well, you know, I don't think so. Maybe I can subscribe to some of that this needed to happen, but I have a hard time believing that anyone can suggest that with Joe Biden being the president instead of Donald Trump, again, all these supporters of Joe Biden, it wasn't because Biden was qualified, it was because he wasn't Trump. And even when we have these Democrat politicians who are pulling back, they're saying, wait a minute, we made a mistake. They're not saying it out loud, they're saying it amongst their own circles, so I'm not real sure if they need it to happen so they have a chance to gain power back. Maybe having Biden in, it wouldn't have mattered if it was a broom. As long as it's a Democratic broom, they would have been just fine. Maybe that's what you're getting at. Not real sure. But, you know, remember that Joe Biden, he spoke just last week of a dead person at an event. I don't think she plans on being here. Well, of course not, because she's in a casket. I mean, that wasn't his first time speaking to the dead in public. I mean, he's done it over and over. And this right here, Joe Biden is who your Democrat neighbors voted for. But getting back to it, man, manufacturing outrage is the modus operandi of the Biden and the Democrats. You know, the liberal media are their tools. The result has been destruction and pain and murder. And the worst, I'm afraid, is yet to come. I mean, there have been campaigns that have attacked broad groups of Americans, i.e. the MAGA Republicans. Now, just for clarification, the greatest majority of, and I read a poll that the great majority of Republican voters do not identify as MAGA Republicans, but we don't talk about that. His speech was framed that if you're not with us, you're against us, and you got to go because you're a threat to democracy. I mean, consider the purported endemic of rape by privileged whites on college campuses. Then there was a fictitious gender gap in wages between men and women. There are not enough wars around the world without having to start civil wars in America. Is that the position you're taking? The most disgraceful use of this strategy has been the deliberate stoking of black rage against white people. Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, most recently George Floyd, they became murderers, not perpetrators. Al Sharpton, you know, the healer in chief was Obama's, and now he's Biden's point man on race. That's like making the arsonist the fire department chief. You know, such is the perversions that Joe Biden has inflicted on this country. He's fanned the flames by comments such as racism is deeply rooted in American society, which is not true. His Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, race baited through his entire tenure. Routinely claiming that civil rights violations at the height of the strife, it triggered the deaths of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and even George Floyd. And they were routinely frustrated by the facts that were presented. So when in doubt, racism. Joe Biden told a black audience that Republicans, back when Mitt Romney was running for office, that Republicans are going to put y'all back in chains. Nothing happened. People, he's right about that. No, he's not. He never was. Because, I mean, did Donald Trump put black people in chains, the highest rated racist that's ever graced the White House? What did he do? Oh, that's right. He lowered the black unemployment. He released a lot from prison. He pardoned a lot of sentences. Yeah, he's such a racist. And all these slanders, they're meant to play on people's worst emotions, fear and envy. And the other, with the whole idea, the whole premise is to generate votes to the delight of Democrats. Cost to this country from this artificial outrage be damned. All of them were lies. 409-245-9753. Continue writing in the chat and we'll get to your comments as I see them. But the false allegations, man, they were amplified by the usual suspects, the liberal media outlets, bloggers, the Democratic Party operatives masquerading as think tank experts, you know, the Center for American Progress, George Soros creation, you know, it's among the worst of the lot. And it's been described as Biden's idea factory, and it's also been revolving door for Biden's key officials. Lies are streamed through social networks that Biden and the Democrats have spread throughout America. Narrowcasting has empowered liars more than ever before. In the chat, Tammy says that, and he said that he was going to represent both sides. The people who didn't vote for him, I'm still waiting. His language is very divisive. And you know, and we heard during the inaugural speech that the adults are back in charge. The adults are back in the room. And I'm not going to be a president just for Democrats. I'm going to be a president for all Americans. But yet, to Tammy's point, all we're hearing, all we're seeing is that over and over and over slap against his voters. MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy. So is it any wonder why just 2 weeks ago we had a man in North Dakota, his name was Shannon Brandt, 41-year-old man on the left, and he's been accused of mowing down a teenager over a political argument. This teenager, Kyler Ellingson, he was part of a Republican, what do you call it, protest, maybe? But this guy, Shannon Brandt, he pleaded with the judge not to hold him on bail, saying that he doesn't want to lose his job or his house or his family because of the high amount of bail. When did the criminals get to start deciding their bail? Is it because, I don't know, he maybe because he ran over a Republican? I want to understand how this comes to be. This guy, Shannon Brandt, was released on a $50,000 bond after he was charged with vehicular homicide, after he was charged with leaving the scene of an accident in connection with the death of an 18-year-old. Brandt was arrested after he called 911 to report that he struck a pedestrian who he claimed was threatening him, although eyewitness accounts shoot it down. Brandt stated that the pedestrian, quote, called some people and Brandt was afraid they were coming to get him. That's in the probable cause affidavit. Now, Brandt admitted to state radio that he hit the pedestrian and the pedestrian was part of a Republican extremist group. Well, was he part of a Republican extremist group or was he just a part of Republicans and you called them an extremist group? Again, I go back to the ultra MAGA who are the threat to democracy that Biden gave in his speech just before this happened. This is the result right here on my screen. Because the president of the United States has deemed his political opponents a threat to democracy, he has, in essence, given a license to kill to anyone who's deemed a political threat. If anything, you're going to get out, you're going to admit to murdering someone, and you're going to get out on a $50,000 bail. In what world does that happen? There's no evidence to suggest this kid was an extremist. It's just that he disagreed politically with the offender. I mean, it doesn't matter that the 41-year-old allegedly admitted to drinking alcohol before hitting Ellingson and initially leaving the scene of the crash. Brandt said that he later returned back to call 911, but he took off again before the cops arrived. A breathalyzer test actually determined that his BAC, his blood alcohol level, was above the legal limit. And according to court documents, Ellingson called his mother before he was hit, asking her if she knew who Brandt was. And she knew who he was, and she told her son that she was on her way to pick him up, and that was the last time she heard from him. A short time later, Ellingson called his mother again to say that he or they were chasing him. She's confused on the words, but that was the last time she heard from him. Even though Brent and Ellington knew each other, and Brent admitted to drinking before he fatally ran down this kid, Kyler Ellingson, he was still granted bail. An attempted murderer. Well, I take that back. I shouldn't say it that way because he deserves his day in court and he should be given the label of innocent until proven guilty because it's a constitutionally protected right. And really, since he's yet to enter a plea, a man who admitted to killing another person while drinking and driving is let out on bail. That right there is our America. The America where criminals are lauded while the victims are left to their grieving, but only if they're white. Tammy calls this a hate crime. And Tammy, I would love for you to expound on that. You can either call or you can walk in here in the office. What makes this a hate crime? Because is it because of his hate of a political party? Because by definition, this doesn't fall into the realm of a hate crime. Maybe because he's part of the minority political party. I don't know. I would love to hear more about this. Bobby Manhattan says maybe we all need to stop being Democrats or Republicans, start being Americans, and put people in office based on policies and not party. Man, I've been saying that for a long time. You know, it's because this kid, Ellington, was a Republican, that his story, it's just not being told by the corporate media. And Tammy hits it right there. It's hate for a political party. I see your point. It's not being told because this is a white kid. This is a Republican. You know, I'll even argue that the current serial murders that are happening right now in California that a lot of you haven't heard of before, they're not being covered now because four of the known five victims are Hispanic men, the fifth being a white guy. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I can have some hope and think that maybe this story is going to develop more when they release the identity of a 46-year-old black woman who was shot back in April. Or if the killer turns out to be white, they can call this a true hate crime, and then they can go on the attack against the existential threat of white supremacy or, once again, firearms. Who knows? But the toxic rhetoric and the labeling political opponents as threat to democracy, it doesn't calm the waters in an already volatile society, and that's quicker to respond to headlines than the actual story facts, again, be damned. Truth does not matter. As the great Winston Churchill said, he said, quote, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has the chance to get his pants on. Even when purveyors of this false allegations are compelled to issue corrections, they're ignored. Very few people read fact checkers such as like Washington Post Glenn Kessler, right? He routinely hands out awards to Biden and his minions in the form of Pinocchios. You know, we might read about historic cabinet nominations that are based only on gender and race and sexual orientation, but how about the lie of the year? That MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy. But you know, facts don't matter. Don't seem to matter to Joe Biden. He's a con man who thinks that Americans are just plain stupid. They're susceptible to believing any stories that he peddles. Joe Biden even gave a statement last week where he said that Americans are no longer proud of their country. And he tried to frame it as like, you know, they're just a bunch of ungrateful bastards. But the reality is he's absolutely right. Americans are not afraid they're not championing their country. They're not proud of their country at all. Tammy says that hate is hate. It's criminal. He killed that boy because he wanted to. Amen. She says that I really believe that he thought he would get away with it because of party affiliation. It's sad. Well, I don't know about him getting away with it, but I do believe that he may have got, I'm going to argue that he may have got some, a little bit of favoritism because of what he identifies as and who he killed. I think the point is very well made. You know, a lot of the outrage fabricators, they appear to be disciples of a person named Saul Alinsky, which, by the way, Hillary Clinton shares this ideological kinship with Barack Obama and Joe Biden, who wrote, it's up to us to go in and rub raw the stories of discontent to galvanize them for radical social change. This is clearly the Democrat strategy from the get-go. For example, when the executives of AIG, which was an insurer that was bailed out by the government in 2008, these executives were awarded bonuses. And people, like myself, like a lot of you, were understandably upset, if not enraged. When asked how he would quell this anger at the commander-in-chief at the time, Barack Obama, he said that he wasn't interested in calming the waters. He said, quote, "I don't want to quell the anger. People are right to be angry. I'm angry. What I want us to do is to channel our anger in a constructive way, because burning and rioting are so much better than what we've been doing. But of course, what's one man's constructive path may necessarily be another man's destructive path, but let's not get wrapped in semantics." And so it's been throughout Biden's presidency that he's never missed an opportunity to manufacture some kind of outrage. When there have not been existing sores of discontent, he's going to create them. After all, that's the logical next step when there's no discontent to manipulate. Create it. For some reason, the White House routinely manufactures outrage when it comes to race relations and voting. So what's been the result of this manipulation, this appeal to people's most basic emotions? Arson and damage in Ferguson, Minnesota, Chicago, New York, and every other Democrat-run city, usually in areas where, you know, that are among people who can least afford such wanton destruction. But Americans believe race relations have worsened, beginning with the Barack Obama presidency, end of the Trump, and now even with Biden. And it's that blowback from the onslaught of disparaging whites as racist and scapegoating them for the culprits behind the problems afflicting the African-American community. Biden's and Democrats who have irresponsibly played this race card for political gain, they've poisoned race relations in this country. But the good news is that Americans have finally begun to realize that they've been manipulated. Democrats manufacture outrage, but like most tools, it's begun to wear out its usefulness. Americans have learned that where there is smoke, there is not necessarily fire. In fact, it might just be the smoke that's blown up our asses. But the resounding defeat in November of Democrats, that seems to be the only sign of better things to come, or at least we hope. But as much as I believe that, there are voters who will still vote blue who think the exact same thing that I do. If Democrats don't stay in power, the democracy is going to end. I mean, remember, we can't find agreeable things with both parties, so either you get in line or you're a terrorist, and nothing else can be true. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the breakdown. Casey Starkey writes in the chat that we should be a threat to democracy, this constitutional republic with a democratic voting system. I think you make a pretty good, compelling point, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break, about 60-second break, two commercials, and we'll be back with you with one final thing. Stick around.
Black beer.
More taste or less taste?
I don't care.
Kind of how your girlfriend doesn't care that you're borrowing her pants?
Called skinny jeans. Kind of in right now.
They're kind of not.
Man up and choose a light beer with more taste. Grab a triple hops brewed Miller Lite with that great Pilsner taste.
Hey! Score still 21-32?
Yeah, just like a jean size.
Ah, the humble beginnings of the Duchess of Sussex.
Action. Sweetheart, don't look at me like that. It's going to be amazing. Oh,
God. This is a disaster. Who's the genius who puts a girl in heels on a subway break?
Miss Monroe, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little cranky when you're hungry.
Better?
Much better.
This scene will never make the cut. Morons.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so let's get our show back going. Tammy says that all this commercial process is that you can leave the bar and become a duchess, or proves this commercial proves that you can leave the bar and become a duchess. Yeah, you can take the bar out of the wench, but not the wench out of the bar, right? So in recent months, you know, the left, they have began losing their grip on messaging. We're seeing it happen, and they're losing their minds in that process because they recognize what's happening. We're currently witnessing this shift in the power structure of our culture. And I really argue that one of them is paradoxically seen as brash reactions, but at the same time, it reveals a very subtle trade-off. I see what you did there, Laura. You mean like AOC. Brilliant. Well played. Well played. You know, the masters of the national discourse, they're seeing their entrenched control on issues dissolving. And the reaction to this is it's been, you know, revelatory. I mean, it's a shift that's been taking place for at least 2 years now, but things have accelerated over the past couple of months. This is good news for our country. You know, there's a few bold examples of this change, but I'm going to start with the smaller one that mostly went unrecognized. Back in late March, one of the approval polls that came out showed that President Biden was losing favor of his country. And this arrived about a month after Russia's invasion of Ukraine began, and it came just weeks after the press doodly tried to set the blame for economic conditions on Putin and his nefarious aggression in that country. At MSNBC, they looked at the results of that poll and they saw a curiosity. Andrea Michelle writes in Twitter, she says, quote, on new NBC poll showing low Biden approval rating at Yamiche, the number that jumped out to me was the fact that 38% of Americans are blaming Biden's policies for inflation and gas prices, and only 6% are blaming Russia. Now, although she didn't, you know, grasp the full impact of what Yamiche was really noting, is that after real effort was made by the media complex on behalf of Joe Biden, the recasting of blame onto Vladimir Putin, it didn't work. We saw it in 2016, during the elections. We heard it all throughout the last administration's term, and we're hearing it now. Russia, Russia, Russia. And when it was a small indicator of a large problem that the news sector is experiencing, that their control over issues, it is escaping. A number of major news stories they've broken out in the past few months, and they've exposed that the media complex is indeed broken, and their stranglehold on the messaging has been wrested away. The proof of this, I think, can be seen in the wild reactions from the journalists and the negative news outlets. You know, they lost a handle on the narrative. They're not handling this very well, resulting in hysterics on display. They're deeply revealing. Again, if you make fun of Joe Biden, if you question his mental acuity, you're guilty of ageism. They're trying like hell to reformulate and recreate the narrative that works best for them. So they can be like, well, we tried to call it, but, you know, ageism. I mean, earlier this year, the journalists, they were in lockstep. I mean, when they took up their opposition of the legislation in Florida that granted expanding rights to parents and more access to school curriculums, so in unison, they called them the Don't Say Gay Bill, and they, to describe this proposal. And it completely abdicated the responsibility to report facts. What is in the bill? When the effort wasn't hurting public opinion in the correct fashion, the narrative was stepped up with charges of intolerance and claims that this law would threaten the safety of students because kids. But the bill passed through the Florida legislature despite the mob effort by the press, leading to a hysterical reaction by the lack of influence. Why are not people upset? And that ramped up even higher when the press was faced with something that it rarely feels: genuine pushback from the public. It's as their commentary became more impassioned that students aged 5 through 8, they needed to be exposed to inappropriate content. People began using the tactics of the press and accusing them of wanting to groom students. So they had to pull back. We found a name better, right? The journalists became aghast by such a charge, and it was a really precarious moment in our country. The people who spent weeks freely calling any supporter of the law transphobic or anti-gay Nazis, they were suddenly turned ashen to that anyone would dare use a hurtful name towards them. Obviously, they condemned those wrongfully accusing them based on the wrongfully reclassified bill, and it was done to condemn backers. But desperately, the multinational corporation Disney, of all people, they were enlisted as a final push to repeal the legislation. So instead today, Disney, they find themselves dismayed as they face negative PR and they've seen their stature in the public's eye diminished. Stick to entertaining kids. Stay out of politics. And it's in the end that the polls have shown that there's ample support in the public space for the law that they call the Don't Say Gay Bill. It's not homophobic. It's not transphobic. It is these parents, they have a right to protect their children. In years past, a concerted effort by the press would have turned public opinion, and this bill would have faced death by attrition. But today, the press changes the minds of very few people because no one trusts them anymore, and quite possibly, many came around to supporting the law as a result of the protracted debate. People were more likely to have had curiosity over the conflict and explore the contents of the bill, and they did. A steady stream of pragmatic responses that there are no language anywhere in that bill to support the claims that they were presenting. They were completely neutered by the narrative. Elon Musk, he's back in the news with Twitter. And with it, it came a remarkable message from the press that muted silence is golden. As Elon Musk first threatened and then he delivered on his promise to insinuate himself into Twitter front offices, the press rose up in opposition. You know, in my time of covering politics and journalism, you know, one of the constantly mystifying realities is that just how many people in the press corps, they're heavily in favor of limiting free expression. The bedrock of their profession is the First Amendment, and yet a shocking amount of journalists are very comfortable with the concept of silencing voices like mine, like yours. You know, the Musk meltdown, it's been something to behold. Numerous figures in the publishing world, they rose up to say that Elon's promise of opening up dialogue, it was dangerous, and that moderating speech, it was an important tool that needs to be wielded. Anyone right of center who's been on the Twitter, they're aware of the practices that Twitter has of silencing certain speech, throttling particular accounts, and shadow banning conservative outlets like my show. Then, of course, there's the outright suspension of the President of the United States. A sitting president has been removed from a social media platform. At MSNBC, their longest running host in the 6 p.m. time slot, Seriously, he bills himself with that stat. He addressed Elon Musk's buyout, but Ari Mebler, he sounds as if he's unfamiliar with the social media outlet, like he doesn't know what it is they do. And he went on this rant that I'm fixing to show you, detailing all the known problems while insisting that it was going to be a new experience as a result of Elon's takeover. This needs to be seen, and this needs to be heard to believe.
You own all of Twitter or Facebook or what have you. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't even have to be transparent. You could secretly ban one party's candidate or all of its candidates, all of its nominees, or you could just secretly turn down the reach of their stuff and turn up the reach of something else, and the rest of us might not even find out about it till after the election. Elon Musk says this is all to help people because he is just a free speech, philosophically clear, open-minded helper.
Are you new here? I mean, because everything that he just described would happen under Elon Musk's watch has happened under every other tech giant owner's watch. That you're going to influence an election, you're going to elevate your political talking point while you're squelching the other side. This is stuff that's been happening for a long time. And what all these people fail to realize, to include a lot of our Americans, we are, the constitutional protection of free speech is exactly that. It's not speech that you agree with. It's also speech that you disagree with. It doesn't, anywhere in the Constitution does it say that the speech that you give, it has to be agreeable to the masses. Not at all. That's free speech. You have the right to be wrong as well as you have the right to be right. This guy is saying if Elon Musk takes over Twitter that all of these things are going to happen that have already been happening, tells me how disconnected he is with what's going on in our world. And this guy calls himself a reporter. Tammy says it right here, man. Beautiful. She says that dickhead is exercising his free speech and he looks pretty comfortable doing it. But, you know, can you imagine the other side? Think of the outrage that happened in our country with myself, you know, getting shadow banned and getting my videos taken down. You've seen the frustration that happens. It irritates the ever loving crap out of me because, man, I thought this was the country that men like me and my friends, we fought and bled for this right for some jackass somewhere over in Silicon Valley to go, that's hate speech. No, negative. doesn't exist, doesn't happen. But yet the left are saying, you know, because again, the left, the whole time that was happening all last year, or throughout the Trump presidency, the whole time that happened, the people, if they championed it, oh, it's, they need to do this. It's their, they must do this to secure democracy. But now that there may be a probability or a possibility that their voices may be the ones getting squelched, it is all of a sudden an outrage. You know, we actually had many, you know, people saying that limiting free speech, it was important to preserving our democracy. That's all we heard. Anytime that these social media giants started shutting people down. I don't want you to digest that concept. In order to properly preserve our Constitution, we must infringe on First Amendment rights. This is the level of the vacated logic we're seeing on the regular from our press corps. That so many people are resorting to an emotional outburst which eclipses the common sense as a sign. Gradually, grudgingly, the realization is creeping in that the media, that they no longer hold any sway over public opinion. They're losing their composure. Look at the recent examples where the desires of the press complex were thwarted. For over 2 years, the January 6th nightmare, it was rehashed as the worst thing our nation has ever endured. And the polls show fewer people today consider that important, and Republicans are less likely to be blamed. January 6th, these politicians, the media would tell you, this is the worst thing that ever happened to our country. Okay. September 11, 2001. That was a pretty bad day in several places. The Afghanistan pullout, that was pretty bad. December 7, 1941, that was pretty bad. But no, they want to tell you that a riot on the Capitol grounds January 6th is the worst thing that's ever happened to our country. You know, the press, they completely cheerleaded Joe Biden's massive spending bill, and they attacked Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema over their positions, but yet the bill had to be gutted. The constant gaslighting that this administration is performing wonderfully, it's led to perpetually eroding approval numbers. We're seeing it. We're seeing a reemergence of a public might. People are standing up once again. They're calling out the establishment, to Casey Starkey's point earlier. Look at the issues that are backed collectively by this administration, by the media, and by Hollywood. These things are not moving the public mindset in ways that previously have been experienced. Their influence is waning. So what I want you to do is I want you to sit and watch as their emotional outbursts reveal this reality. It is a very satisfying display, and if the election doesn't go in their favor in November, in what, 34 days? Man, wait till you wait. You think you've seen outrage? Man, wait till this happens. And if Donald Trump announces his candidacy, if Donald Trump wins, man, Katie, bar the doors, because it is going to get bowling shoe ugly. Laura Harlow says in the chat that every time, all I could think was, look up democracy in the dictionary. And it's crazy that a lot of people still consider them, consider our nation a democracy. We're a republic, but whatever. Right? Let's, words are hard. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you so much for joining me this hump day. I appreciate you tuning into the show, Seeks not only to provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Man, our country is being reshaped at this time because of manufactured outrage. So until next time, friends, man, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. Thankfully, we're standing up. As always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, think a veteran. If you love your peace, think a police officer. If you see a first responder, man, give them a high five and a handshake. Tell them job well done. All of you guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. Thank you for helping me elevate my show to where I want it to be. So to all the people that have commented, I see Dale, Laura Harlow, my wife Tammy, Casey Starkey, all of you guys, thank you so much for joining me. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Until next time, friends, my name is Philip Blackman. Y'all take care of yourselves, because I promise you it is not as bad as they want you to believe. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.